In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you a story. It's not perhaps my favorite story to tell, but it's a true one. It's not my favorite because it's a bit embarrassing. About 20 years ago, when I was a new Navy chaplain, I finally got to go underway on a ship, a frigate. And we were out there somewhere, and I had this bright idea of a couple days, thinking I was now an old salt, that it was time for me to see what the sea looks like at night. Well, I forgot a couple things, or rather didn't know. One is the ship is a stealth ship, so it has no lights. The sky was completely overcast, so there was no moon, no stars. And the ocean, any sailor can tell you, can be absolutely pitch black. I walk out, look around, realize I can't see anything, and I also realize I have no idea which way to go to get back in. And I knew if I walked too many steps in one direction, there would be a very, very long swim back to Florida. So the only other alternative was to sit there on the deck and wait till morning came. Of course, as I sat there on the deck, I began to wonder who I could blame for this, and I had a number of people in mind, none of which worked. About that time, the hatch opened, and I hear this young 19, 20-year-old sailor say, "Sir, would you please get back in here? The captain would be really mad if I lost the chaplain." So I said, "Keep talking, I'm coming." And I did. And I was back in the safety of the ship. You can be sure I focused on that light that God had provided so I didn't have to sit there the entire night on that deck. You know, Moses records in the reading today of one of the saddest incidents in the history of Israel. All that God had done for them had been forgotten. God had provided for them freedom. Through miraculous intervention, he had brought them through the Red Sea, had taken them to Mount Sinai, given them his covenant. He had fed them with this miraculous food called manna. And they reach a point where all they can do is grumble and complain against Moses and against God. They were sitting out on a deck of a ship at night and trying to find somebody to blame. They were testing the Lord, as St. Paul would later call it. The result of that, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. Now imagine being there. You're surrounded by snakes, and there's nothing you can do. All around you, people are being bitten, and they die. So what do you do? Do you begin to look inward? Maybe you can find something to overcome the serpent's bite. Maybe you can just ignore them, pretend they're not there. Then they'll go away. Maybe you can do something really good, you see, and that way God will take away the serpents because you've just balanced the scales. Maybe you can keep blaming God, keep blaming Moses. It's not really my fault, you see, it's somebody else's. But how well does denial of guilt ever work? There was nothing they could do. And finally, the people were told, came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he would take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Notice what they said. "We have sinned against the Lord and against his servant Moses." No longer passing off the blame, taking it. And God always hears the confession of his people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. In one of the darkest nights of Israel's history, a darkness brought about by their own sin, God responded in grace. "Look at the serpent on a pole and live. In the midst of death, God brings life." So let me ask you, what are you focusing upon? We've all received his manifold blessings every day of our lives. He has brought us all to this moment in time, to this day. And yet we look at what we think we should have. And we complain. And I don't think there's anybody more susceptible to that than those who either prepare for a life of service in the church or those who now serve the church. It's like a lifetime of wilderness wandering. So what do you do when the snakes come? Can you ignore it? Maybe thinking the snakes will just go away if I just don't pay any attention? Can you look inward? Maybe there find the strength to overcome whatever it is? That's going to work, right? Maybe you can do enough good to overcome. Or maybe you can blame somebody else. It's the seminary's fault. It's the synod's fault. It's the congregation's fault. It's my spouse's fault. It's God's fault. No. In the end, you realize it is my fault. My most grievous fault. No one else's, only mine. God responds in grace. Jesus said in the third chapter of John, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Israel focused upon a bronze serpent. God has given to this world one who is lifted up, not a bronze serpent, but his own Son in the flesh and the blood, raised up on a holy cross, bloodied and beaten, bitten with every snake bite that has ever been inflicted upon any human being that has lived since Adam, redeeming a world filled with the snakes of our own creation and crushing the old serpent's head. Truly lifted up from the earth, drawing all people to himself. From death comes life. Sin, death, and that old serpent Satan were vanquished when that holy cross bore the Savior of the world. And that vanquishing was announced to the world by an angel's message in an empty tomb. He is not here. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is risen. And because he is risen, all who live, all who die in sin, yes, afflicted by the snakes of this world, and yet death has no power. Death has been destroyed because Jesus lives. Above all of our self-inflicted pain, our world of death, there rises that most holy cross. And there still resounds the sound of Easter. Come now, Israel. And be fed with the manna that comes from on high. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.